Hello, welcome to It Feels Right. I'm Rob, here alongside Adam Stone in our beautiful in-studio condo here. And Adam's in a basement in Holly Springs, North Carolina. Woo-woo. And today we are going to cover a little bit about the Sacramento Open on those diagonal courts they have out there, which are something else. Not slanted courts like Adam is going to have in his backyard, which is going to be a whole other thing. But diagonal courts in Sacramento, we'll go over those results. We're going to talk a little bit about a tactic that Adam brings up haphazardly early, but it turns into a great segue of the tip. And what else we got, Adam?
Don't hesitate. Anticipate. Load up on those counters. And when your partner speeds up, and, you know, why not throw in just a little light CJ Klinger story as well? Hope you guys enjoy everything we got here.
Let's do it.
Because you know why?
Why?
Because it feels right.
It feels right. Legendary.
This is the moment we waited for. Everything you want is right here. We gonna give them what they came for. We gonna take it up from last year. Watch the game change. Watch the game change. Watch the game change. Watch the game change. Yeah.
What you know about that?
I know lots about a lot, Rob. What you know about it?
Literally nothing. So, but gonna understand soon.
Well, yeah. that's absolutely true, Robert. We had Pickle this past weekend, and we have Pickle this upcoming weekend. Not a shocking occurrence these days, but exciting times. And I'm not working either event, which is even more exciting.
Oh wow! No, nothing. Awesome. Nada.
Off, not a going to the beach with the fam.
Topsail.
You're not supposed to say it topsail. It's topsail.
Hold on, okay. Are you doing that this weekend?
No, I'm doing that. Yeah, Saturday through Friday, I think, like something like that.
Why? This is, you have Pinehurst. You guys are Pinehurst.
Yes.
And there's
the U.S. Open. That's what I hear. I didn't even know until somebody brought it to my attention that the U.S. Open golf tournament is in Pinehurst, which it seems to be a fun spectator drinking sport, golf, which is a
correct.
Bit shocking, which is a bit shocking, I think, when you look at it from, you know, surface perspective. But I'm a little upset, actually. I wouldn't mind going.
You should try to get out there like Wednesday, Thursday, if you can.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know it's
have you played it?
No, I played the so where Corinne's parents live is the Country Club of North Carolina. There's like, I think, double digit quality courses there. So I don't know if they're playing like Pinehurst number two, Pinehurst
number two, Dogwood.
They got a variety of different courses, all legit. Anytime I ever talk to people from around the country and bring up Pinehurst or North Carolina and their golfers, they are, it's like a heaven for golfers, apparently.
Yeah. Is Prof been playing any?
No, she's going to start up a Tuesday Night Ladies League for golf
at nice.
at this little thing. So that'll be her first like for me activity since this dang child.
Doing any
out.
Picky or no?
No, real picky. I played last Friday. I'm still sore. and she is not playing. So and I'm officially I clearly was a parent as my child was a year and a month old, but he got me sick, so now I'm really a parent because apparently that's just consistently happening.
It happens part of it.
For the rest of his life. So yeah, I'm a little under the weather, a little under the weather right now.
Now you just need a little. Now I have to really invest in the compound because you're going to need picky court.
Yes, yes.
You need to level that land or play slant pickleball, whichever one. Talk about this.
When we decide, we want to be going uphill, not downhill, correct? That's what we're looking for.
I think you have to go uphill. I think
you have to go uphill. Yeah. Well, maybe we can just grade the land and get it flat, but we'll see.
Imagine the drop shots you could hit uphill.
Nasty. Bringing it back into the net. Like, what can you do? Literally nothing.
This is worth an experiment, because I'm thinking a lot of strategy downhill, too. There's solid strategy.
Yeah, I don't know why this made me think of it, but I was loving the the aerial views when I was watching pickleball this last weekend at that wild facility in Sacramento with the
scattered diagonal.
The diagonal courts. Pretty good stuff. Yeah, there were some fun matches this past weekend. Definitely different matchups, different partnerships, and I think that made it pretty exciting in Sacramento.
Yeah, I mean, you had to be watching on the mainstream because that grandstand court was tough to watch.
What, like choppy or what?
I don't know. No, it was just like kind of fuzzy, but like also like laggy, where you could see like the ball looked like it was like a comet kind of.
Yeah.
It was really hard to watch.
Laggy hurts my heart, you know.
Laggy hurts. Whatever
it is, video games, streaming, something, pickleball. You can't be lagging, you know.
No, pretty routine matches. Championship Sunday. I mean, huge result for Big H and Fed. That was a clinic.
I mean, seriously. I mean, I guess this was something special too. As the kids, the Young Bucks, JW and Dylan, won three in a row. They're looking for the four-peat and weren't particularly close to getting there. As I'm pulling it up here, the picky in game three too, 7-7-0 for Federico Stackshirt and Hayden Pashugwin. Congratulations to them. I'll take an L on this, as I kind of course, love Federico Stackshirt, but on the doubles court, I've mentioned a time or two that I thought he might have a bit of a capped ceiling in terms of just being that full-on alpha left side. And this result is any indicator. I was mistaken there, Robert.
Maybe, but also I think like it's very. I think he needs a guy on the right that has good, like has really quick hands, but also can create, like, not so dissimilar from like an Andre, actually, where I don't think, you know, got some decent rolls out of the air, that kind of thing, but I wouldn't say has, you know, elite offense by any means. But if you have, but just when you're that consistent and you make that many balls and you have a guy on the right that can help create a lot, and then have the hands to back up the creation, it's a recipe of obviously what he's been looking for.
Yeah, I'm loving these new little hybrid right side guys, Gabe Tardio and Big H now on the right. And I think you're right, kind of with the skill set of Federico, to have someone who can create and not just be a make balls rock and kind of keep the point going is probably good for him. And I'll tell you what he does, Robert. Whether his right side partner speeds up or Federico's left side counterpart speeds up at his partner straight ahead, meaning Hayden Pashugwin. Mm-hmm. Federico Stackshirt clears his body and hits a forehand on that next ball as good as anybody. So if Hayden starts the fire, Federico, of course, is ready in the middle with his forehand. But if they do push that even harder cross court at him, he just gets out of the way and swats a forehand so well. Yeah. So I think his hands off of his opponent speeding up at his partner or his partner speeding up are really good. And I think that was a big factor in this particular match against Dylan and Federico. I mean, sorry, Dylan and JW.
Yeah, I think that's an underrated skill set too. I think you talk about hand speed and stuff like that. I don't think anybody would put Fed necessarily like in the top five in hand speed, but you're absolutely right. I mean, it's a whole different skill set to be able to react off of your opponent speeding up at your partner or your partner speeding up and you being ready. Because I know a lot of guys with fast hands that still won't be ready for that one just because they're surprised at the speed up.
Yeah, I actually think I had, when I was playing, I had a bit of issue with this. I was better when I started or off of the initial speed up. And if it was coming from a different angle or my partner sped up from an awkward position or even a regular position and the ball got back to me quickly, I was caught off guard more often than I should have been. Yeah. So I know we've talked about that specific scenario before on the podcast, but it's important to note that those are very much two different things in terms of hand speed.
Wow. I mean, I think we didn't mean to do it, but I think that might have been kind of the tip of the day is if you're on that left side and your partner speeding up or your opponent speeding up at your partner, load up that forehand and be ready to slide.
Yeah. And Rob, I think it possibly works both ways. Also from the right, I think we think of sliding and countering with the backhand from the right off of initial speed up, but that could also be from your partner starting the fire
100%.
In the middle of the court with a forehand. You can start that slide earlier and you could be ready on, I guess, what would be the third ball of an exchange, as opposed to that just initial speed up coming right at you. So, man, I've been saying this for a while. I think that back in the day, if you had good hands, the quality of speed ups were only so good that you could just wait and react. And I think now you have to load, or you have to anticipate the ball at a certain spot, because the quality of attacks and the quality of hand speed when your partner attacks, you need to be ready, and you need to have a paddle position that is already cheating or already anticipating a pattern or a situation. Because if you just wait and react, you're going to get hit in the chest these days, even if your hands are very good.
Yeah, 100%. And yeah, I think it should be pretty easy to load, especially when the ball, like the actions on the other side of the court, for example, like if I'm on the right and Adam's on the left, and you know, the ball is centered over on that side of the court. Of course, I'm angled and sitting backhand, right? Because there's nothing happening to my right. There's nothing that can really hurt me over there unless Adam goes cross court and somebody flicks down the line in my forehand. So I'm loading heavy backhand. And I'm kind of angling my body over there, and I'm just sitting and waiting for anything to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I think
you could do that. That's the cheat you can do.
Yeah, I think you see quite a few players actually in the soft exchanges. They're constantly like loading and then going back to set, like loading and going back to set, just in case there's a speed up that happens, or someone decides to flick a ball or speed up a ball. I think it's really important. I was doing the same thing. I would do the same. I would kind of hop back off the kitchen line and then get back to it. I would start my load so that my paddle's in the proper position, even if it wasn't coming my way, just in case.
The reverse cobra.
Yes, the reverse cobra, right?
The defensive cobra, where
that's right.
You're pump faking the defense.
Yeah, pump faking the defense, and you even touched on it too just a second ago. Disregarding that one side of my body, knowing where the ball is. If it goes to my forehand with pace, then it's out. If it goes to my forehand side of my body when I'm playing the right, then with a soft shot, I always have time to react. But with the power, I'm loaded here. I'm ready for space in the middle and attacking my body. Anything to the right side of my body is bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Don't even touch that. It's going
out. Gabe Tardio, just the number one seed slayer, or I guess in this situation, the number two seed slayer as Ben Johns and James Ignatowicz. Tardio and Riley Newman having a quality tournament. Been a while for him being consistent on the PPA tour. So Riley Newman gave Tardio 12-10, 11-9 over Ignatowicz and Johns. That's a fun result.
Did they get that bronze? I didn't see the bronze results.
No, they lost 11-6 in the third to McGuffin and Barr.
Okay, that's surprising, I think, to me.
Yeah, I think that's... I would give a slight edge to Tardio and Newman, but I think it's pretty slight, like a 55-45 situation. Definitely a fun match. I mean, two full-on veterans in McGuffin and Dekel Barr. Definitely a little bit sexier with the Tardio and Newman pairing, I think, for just terms of, you know, offense and exchanges and things of that sort. But Tardio and Newman moving on to the semifinals of losing 11-8 to Federico and Hayden. So fun tournament for Newman to come back. He was very close with Etta Wright in mixed doubles as well. I mean, I don't know. He's like traveling to South America, doing this, doing that, just taking a little, I mean, solid 3 or 4 month break from pickleball, really.
Yeah.
Besides for that MLP event. So good to see him back.
Yeah. Do you know... I mean, look, it looks like he's enjoying himself. He's having a good time, right? Like taking advantage of getting paid and, you know, a little low key, less stress, focused on pickle. What's his, I mean, we talked about this last week a little bit with Julian. What is the vibe of like motivation level? Has there been any check-in on like with him or any sense of just like how people are feeling? In terms of hunger and motivation.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's one of the best competitors out there, and I do think that he did kind of win all the contract stuff was happening, he was kind of in the middle of a bit of a lull in his game where he was plateauing and maybe not getting worse, but people getting better around him. So I think maybe the timing of the break, and, you know, you got to live your life, take a little breaks, live your life, probably a pretty good recipe for a lot of the players. So I don't know what his schedule is, but I think it was probably good for him, and I would like to see him playing quite a bit for the rest of the year. I think he's going to. I'm not positive, but I thought he was going to play a little bit with Andre, and clearly that is not going to happen. So I don't know if that was Tardio related or how they ended up getting together, but I still think that he is definitely kind of in that, you know, middle to back end of the top 10 area, even though he's not a clear-cut number two anymore that he was a while back.
Yeah, but you're right. Incredible competitor. Still super fun to watch, right? Just, you know.
Yeah, fun style, you know, has the pancake, scrambles. Yeah. You know, when he gets pushed off the line, you know, back of the court, he can track anything down. So I do think it's a fun style, and he kind of has that, you know, he's kind of has that little bit of Stone Cold Killer in him where he's going to default to starting the fire in big moments as opposed to going soft. I think he wants to take it. He wants to speed up. He wants to start a hands battle. And that's definitely a fun style to watch, especially with, you know, a handful of the top men's teams defaulting to slower play in those big moments.
Yeah. And that match, it was a fun match against Big H and Fed. I mean, Riley got, I think, 90% of the balls. Like, they were, you know, Tardio is kind of posting up on the middle of the right side, like, you know, kind of middle of the court where this left foot's almost on the middle line. And, you know, I saw him hit like maybe three forehand things from the middle. And that's like all the balls I saw him hit.
Yeah, I agree. I only saw maybe it's bits and pieces, you know, when you have a kid running around. So I had it on for most of the day, but didn't always see, and that's exactly what I saw. It was almost like Tardio straddling the center line from the right, daring them to dink out wide to Tardio's forehand so he could just basically pull a trigger frivolously and back himself up or get some help from Riley in the middle. It's kind of a unique strategy, but what I saw was 75%+ of the balls to Riley Newman on the left side, which with two right-handers is a little odd.
Yeah, agreed. But fun match.
Yeah, let's see here.
Sunday was pretty chalk. Anna Lee, Catherine Cruz.
Another pickleball, or another pickle in the mixed doubles final with Anna Bright and James Ignatowicz going down 11-0 in game three to Ben and Anna Lee. So two spots for a pickle and championship Sunday is pretty surprising. Just comfortable. Besides for that men's final, which is, you know, not chalk, I think everything else was pretty standard. And it looks like, okay, so Riley and Edda ended up losing the bronze medal match 11-8 in the third to the Johnsons. So Riley, two semifinals, two bronze medal losses. Either way, a quality tournament for him.
Oh, yeah. Back in the mix. He's always going to be in the mix.
Back in the mix. Let's take a little look-see here. Yeah, not... nothing too exciting in women's singles, 11-3, 11-4 for Anna Lee. Brooke Buckner with the bronze over Dom Schaefer. And then we'll just touch on this. Oh, and then here's a little, because Kwong Duong was able to win the bronze medal match with Dylan Frazier, I'll bring up the Texas Ranchers this upcoming weekend in D.C. are going to be without Christian Alshon. So they have decided to pick up Kwong Duong as to pair with Pablo Tejas, Edo Wright, and Tina Pisnik for this upcoming DC MLP. It's some form of medical thing for Christian Alshon. I have no idea what it is, but he is officially out for the DC MLP. And Kwong Duong is the pickup for Ryan DeWidgeon, the general manager of the Texas Ranchers.
Okay, what do you think about that?
It was an interesting player pool. I actually messaged a little bit with him. And, you know, Kwong, he checks a lot of boxes, the ability to get better quickly. So I have not personally watched him play doubles in a couple months for whatever reason, just hasn't made it on my court in the afternoon for doubles. And I was early on in his doubles career, I was questioning his hand speed kitchen to kitchen. He clearly has a lot of power, good ground strokes, some solid speed ups. So if he has kind of, you know, sped those hands up a little bit or found a way, like we were talking about earlier, of loading and kind of reading the patterns of the situation so that he can be on that initial counter. I think it could be a quality pick. So, I mean, he puts in the hours, he puts in the touches, he drills, he wants it. He's young, he's athletic. There's lots of good stuff there, even though I don't think he's really had that signature run or two in doubles, whether that is men's or mixed.
But at the same time, it's just a pickup for a weekend, right?
Correct. So there's like three challenger level teams that are not going to DC. So you can pick from that one of those squads, or you can pick someone that was not drafted, like Quang Duong was not. So that was their choice. I think it was actually our squad, the SoCal Hard Eights, Purple Jesus, Eric Lang, Colin Schick, Patrick Kafka. And then there was the handful of players that were not drafted at all. So those were the options for the Texas Ranchers.
Interesting. Would there have been any was there any difference between picking a challenger player versus an undrafted in terms of mechanics?
I don't believe so. So I don't believe so.
Before we get into the episode, we have to tell you about a must-have for anyone in the pickleball world. If you're an avid pickleball player and don't have this app downloaded on your phone, you're missing out on so much. Meet the Selkirk TV app, the first and only free streaming and on-demand app dedicated to everything pickleball. Whether you're a player, a fan, or just curious about the sport, Selkirk TV is your one-stop shop for all things pickleball. Get exclusive early access to content you won't find anywhere else, like lessons, courses, podcasts, and much, much more. Imagine improving your game with the pros or catching the latest pickleball buzz before anyone else. Need more? How about a 24/7 live stream featuring new content daily? From gripping PPA tournament matches and live coverage of grandstand court to insightful player interviews, Selkirk TV has it all. You can dive into the action anytime, anywhere. If you're already watching this episode on the app, thank you. But if you aren't, what are you doing? Download the Selkirk TV app now. It's a must-have for anyone who loves pickleball. Visit selkirk.com/TV to get it.
So I think that was just the player pool. You had to pick a player and discuss with the player if they would be available for that event. And if they were, then you got them.
Nice.
Oh, gosh. I'm just looking at this score line of Catherine and Anna Lee versus Rora Bakker and Anna Bright. My goodness. 11-2, 11-1, 11-5, 33-8. That is a tough way to go down on Championship Sunday. Of course, great to get there. But that is 6 months ago, 4 months ago. That was the rivalry or the team that, along with probably Etta Wright and Megan Dazan, that had given Catherine Parento and Annalee Waters some trouble, and no trouble this time.
No, I mean, it's just demolish. Yeah, it's what can you say? It's we always think it's like, you know, they're inching closer and closing the gap, and then this happens.
Yeah, right. And I think it was really similar with Etta and Megan Dazan. Megan Dazan's been having some issues, hasn't probably been playing as clean as she was 6 months ago. And that team, like, there was multiple, like, you know, 12-10, 11-9 matches, or they would push them to three in the semifinals. And then Annalee and Catherine just find some different level against those two teams and haven't really had much issues with either one of them lately.
No. It's a route.
Yeah, it is. I know the feeling. It hurts your heart a little bit, but I've been there before many times.
Carolina Pickleball Club.
Yeah, so that's just a move from Seattle Pioneers to the Carolina Pickleball Club. I don't think I noticed anything extra or specific that goes along with it, just a move of location.
Do we know why?
I do not know why. I mean, I know it's a big point of emphasis for MLP to kind of get some roots in the cities where the teams are from, whether it's a facility or some kind of rapport with the local area or local pickleball community. So, I mean, I guess that's my guess. Not exactly sure why. I mean, I know the Seattle Pioneers were the team that Dave Fleming was the GM of. So I'm not sure if that's, I think that's Tom Dundon's team. And I know he has the Carolina Hurricanes. So maybe there's some connection there between moving that from Seattle to North Carolina, but I'm not positive on that.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, getting Seattle supersonic vibes, just bummer for the bummer for the city of Seattle.
Where'd they go? Is that OKC?
I have no idea.
I think Seattle went to Oklahoma City, the Thunder. I think that is right. But
do you know where Seattle's franchise went? Oklahoma City.
It's Oklahoma City. Okay, it is. Look at that.
Confirmation from producer Josh and Malin. Everybody's just ready to go.
Yeah.
They have to be quick after that St. Louis debacle.
Yeah. Hey, so it turns out, Rob, I've been at the top of the arch twice. once as a younger man, once in my like late 20s. So yeah, so that was a bit of a debacle, but those are the facts. And that was quick on the OK City answer from Malin and producer Josh. Well done, guys.
That was good. We have. Well, Josh pops up in here and it says he's not being recorded. But Josh, when you do pop in like that, I think you need to be recorded because the people need to know you and see.
I kind of like it. You know, as long as he's not popping in every other minute, I think that the pop in and
unless we're wrong every other minute, then we need to be corrected.
Unless we're getting censored by Big Pickle, which is, you know, part of the deal these days. That's why you have to go to the Twitter streets, right, Rob?
Look, man, look, I gotta have an outlet. If it's not gonna be this podcast where I can say whatever I want, then it has to be Twitter.
the streets of Twitter. I just love, look, you know, I pull it up every few hours, you know, kind of when I get a little break from doing whatever. Yep. I love popping off. X.com. I prefer Twitter, but X is whatever it is. And I just see Rob just typing out responses, maybe getting a little back and forth with a random person, giving a hot take about something pickleball related. That's what I want to see, Robert.
Look, I'd have less to say if people weren't so dumb. You know?
Fair. I don't see that changing anytime soon, unfortunately.
Malin's giving me a look like, just chill out. But look. This whole Caitlin Clark debacle with not getting picked to the Olympic team when nobody in the world has ever watched women's basketball until now. And now they have a chance to do that on a global stage for the Olympics, even if she doesn't play, even if she's not one of the top 12 players and they don't bring her, you have to bring her. Now nobody's going to watch the women's Olympic team. Everybody would have watched if she was on the team. It's just, the people on this platform, it's just crazy. Crazy, Adam. Crazy. And I think I've boiled it down to, there's people that have like some semblance of like a business and macro, like economic sense of what's happening. And other people that are like, oh, well, this person has one more rebound per game than her. She doesn't deserve it. It's like, shut up. It doesn't matter. All that matters is people are watching your sport for the first time ever. Okay, that's it. That's all I got.
That was good. Well, I mean,
yeah,
you already wrote it in words. Why not say it out of your mouth, directly from the horse's mouth right there? That, I mean, it's not even like it's not even an issue anymore. We should have one Caitlin Clark rant from you every episode.
Yeah.
Under two minutes. I think we need it now at this point.
Okay. Yeah, well. There's that
I've
one.
Just never, I mean, I've known you for a while, Robert, and I think that gets you as worked up as almost anything. The Caitlin Clark hate.
It's just, it doesn't make sense to me. Nobody's ever watched the sport. Now everybody's watching it, and it's not a coincidence.
More money. Everybody wins.
Does everybody hate money? Does everybody hate money? Does everybody hate playing in sold out arenas? You guys want to go back to playing in high school gyms? Hey. Your choice. Put her on the team.
So when's your next, Indiana Fever? When's your next game?
Thursday.
Yes. Thursday. Perfect.
Thursday.
That's good.
Thursday. But then quite a big break after that one. So,
gotcha.
And she plays tonight. It's, you know, every day that Caitlin Clark plays, it's happy Caitlin Clark day. You know, the whole world rejoice. We get to see greatness in motion. And that's that. You know?
All right, we're pushing that 2 minute mark.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Let's carry on.
Okay, yeah. So we've already touched on a couple. Go ahead.
Just in terms of having a sports show here, Adam.
Yes.
It's now a sports show, not a pickleball show. Okay, apparently.
Sure.
But when we do go to these fever games, probably 25 feet to my call it 8 o'clock, is sitting front row is Mr. Pat McAfee, because his studio's in Indianapolis and he goes to all the games.
Okay.
So pretty cool to see that. That was my final statement. Now we can carry on.
All right. No, perfect. Well, we already mentioned a couple things about MLPDC this upcoming weekend. Is there anything else that we should touch on or anything exciting going on? So we got this is the second tournament of the year in DC regular season with a 2-stop tournaments at the end of 2024. So this is round 2 of regular season play, and then we have the tournament at the end. So it's not a standalone tournament like it had been previously, which is important to note for you non-diehards that it's tough to follow. It's tough to follow a little bit.
Well, and this is the thing, Mr. Adam, is that you're right. It's not a standalone event. This is like, it's an ongoing season, and I'm looking at event matches and standings at scores.majorleaguepickleball.net.
Okay.
And I'm clicked on the Washington DC tab, which it's actually laid out really nicely. You have Atlanta, which was the first one. It has DC highlighted, which is where we're at, June 13th to 16th. And then it labels midseason, Salt Lake, Kansas City. So it has it all laid out really beautifully. And then it shows day one challenger matches as well as premier. And then it shows day two, day three, day four. But what I think is just on your point of having the ongoing season and fluid standings, and like the whole reason we're doing this, or to my knowledge, is to have continuity, to build storylines, to build brand. And just looking at day one here, we have Atlanta Bouncers playing the Brooklyn Aces at 2 p.m. on Championship Court on Thursday. It doesn't show their records. I don't know like what this match means. I don't know who's on the teams. It doesn't label the players on there. It does show women's doubles. It shows the scoreboard, but nobody's listed. Maybe that's because they don't have the final rosters in yet. But
You can click on it. Click on Atlanta Bouncers on that screen, and then there'll be an expanded.
I can't. It doesn't show it.
It actually doesn't list the teams anyway.
It would just be like, it would be good to know what the records are, who's playing who, why it matters, like a little preview. Because there's just, I'm seeing this and I'm like, okay, well, this will be fun to watch. And I'll probably, throw it on the stream as I'm doing stuff on Thursday. But I don't know what any of it means. Like the storylines aren't clear to me.
Clear
to me, they're not clear probably to most people.
Yeah, you're in that junkie category. So I think that's important to have kind of the ease, and I know we're switching a couple rules. You're gonna have to win on serve, so which is good. I mean,
agree.
Getting it right is good, but at the same time, switches do make it tough for the casual fan to follow. So whether it's a rule change, whether it's a location to watch, whether it's information about the teams and the format of the postseason play and all that, it just is. An issue to find it all in one place. And I think that's just going to be a little bit of time that's going to be needed, as even though the merger took a while to happen, once it did finally get going, they put these events together pretty quickly.
You had to, so behind the eight ball. So the season's up and running. I just hope there's a bit of a better job with like the storylines and understanding the standings and the rivalries, and cause I don't see a ton of content based around that. So, but again, you're right. They got this put together quickly. They're also running a tour full time. There's a lot going on.
There is a lot going on. Yeah. I'm looking, I'm trying to find exactly which teams. I think it was only 2 teams at the Challenger division that were not at the first event. And I know one of them is the California Black Bears, and they went pocket aces in the Challenger division with DJ Young and Rafi Hewitt. So I'm always interested in that strategy because I think it's reasonable. And let's see, Arizona Drive went premier with Dylan Frazier and Andre Daescu. Way back in the day, the SoCal Hard Eights and Premier tried it with Riley Newman and AJ Kohler. Did not work out, but I still think it's a viable strategy if you get the right personnel and you fill out your roster properly. So I'm interested to see how the Black Bears do with Rafi Hewitt and DJ Young as their first two challenger picks.
Yeah. Interesting, because you're going to throw DJ on the left, which he obviously plays left and mixed, but I think he's more suited as a right side guy. So you kind of got two right side guys, which is interesting. But yeah, obviously pretty stacked in terms of talent.
Yeah, and mixed, you know. I think that's probably one of the biggest advantages to that pocket aces, as I think it's kind of understood now that the top few guys in each division, whether it's Premier or Challenger, can really affect the mixed matches pretty aggressively. We'll see how they do.
Yeah, we got the Night Owls, the Slice, and the Black Bears and Challenger that haven't played yet.
Okay, this will be
their first weekend. Yep.
There you go. Okay, yeah, I see it right there. And I don't know, there's something about the owner and GM Richie Twazin of California Black Bears. He's on that list of you want to beat him. Rafa Hewitt's on that list. You want to beat Rafa. It's fun. I love DJ. I don't mind losing to DJ, but I think those two guys, I specifically, as a player and as now a coach GM, have a specific list, a hierarchy of people that I prefer to beat, and some that, it's kind of whatever. You always want to win, of course, but.
Yeah. The guys that talk.
The guys that are a little chirpier. Every time I see Rafi Hewitt, he says he literally talks crap to me for not picking him as a hard eight. I mean, he messaged me during the draft 30 seconds after we picked somebody else. He's like, "You didn't take me." It's like, Rafa, please, I'm doing a draft. Leave me alone, okay? It's all good. Everything's going to be okay. So
that's great.
It's pretty quality stuff. Okay.
So, big weekend. Big weekend of picky of MLP. There's no there's no PPA tournament, right? It's just an MLP weekend.
No, so I think what the confusion was, there was a little confusion, as I think they're going to start having PPA amateur events at the MLP.
Okay.
So I guess they're technically UPA events. No, I don't know hardly anything about this. I just think they're going to start piggybacking that with the MLP events to have an amateur side of it as well, which is good. You know, that's a little bit more revenue. A lot of the players stay and watch the pros, so it should be a little more full. And, you know, we've talked multiple times, you know, it's going to take a smidge of time to get that momentum back, as, you know, there was many months where an MLP was not played.
Yeah. Do we know what's happening with the broadcast this weekend? Like, are we gonna have all the courts? How many courts are there?
They're gonna squeeze the courts a little bit, and I think they're only gonna have two. So I think
just
Atlanta. So at previous years or previous seasons of MLP, they had court three and court four.
Yeah.
And so now I'm pretty positive they're just gonna piggyback everything on those two courts and have two broadcasts going, but cap it at two. I think is fine.
I think it's better. You're gonna have less courts, more people at each court, like in terms of fans.
Yeah,
like
definitely.
Courts 3-4, like looking at San Clemente or somewhere like where it's spread out, it's like you get pretty small crowds. So it's pretty cool if you can have just two courts and really load everybody into there to watch.
Yeah,
so
they
hopefully
kinda had
they get some fans.
Yeah, they kind of built a wall in that previous Atlanta event right in the middle and had the Challenger the grandstand and the championship court right there. So you know, there was plenty of seats where you could watch both or easily shift over to one court after one match finishes or whatever. And I think that's good overall too. Yeah, hopefully there's good fans in DC. I don't remember any form of pro pickleball ever being played there before. So in the new spots, I think it's always good to notice what kind of fan base comes out, because it's different in a lot of different places.
Oh, 100%. And I think it's either going to be good or bad. And I mean that because it's a new market where they're not used to going to these tournaments. They're not used to showing up and seeing pros. So there might be, it's either going to be they don't have enough awareness that it's happening, or that, you know, they've been waiting for a while to see good pro pickleball, and now they're
right.
Now they have the opportunity. So hopefully right. it's that one.
Yeah, I mean, I know that in that area, pretty much anywhere you go now, there's at least some form of area around whatever it is, you know, 2 hours radius or 3 hour radius, where there's plenty of pickleball players out there. I know Virginia has a quality community, and some of the other places kind of in the Northeast area. So I think it could be a situation where the viewership is quality at the actual event.
And honestly, it's the most fun. Yeah, if anybody's on the fence, it's truly the most fun pickleball to watch, in my opinion, pro pickleball. It's the match is really never decided until the match is over. You know what I mean? It's like every point's pretty important. It engages you the whole time, whereas in some tournaments, you can get pretty disengaged based on some results that are lopsided. It doesn't matter because it's just going to the second round, versus a team event, which is, you know, every single match is really, really important. So as a viewer, it's always been my favorite to watch.
Yeah, and it's even more so. Anything can happen when you have to win on your serve. So that's a good rule change. I think it's probably somewhere around the 2-1 range for standard tournament to team format. So
yeah,
you know, I think I've always talked, and I think both have real value and real merit. So I think switching back between the formats and having, you know, those 8, 10, 12 team events sprinkled in throughout the year, which is, I think, around the number that they're looking for 2024, gives pro pickleball a good balance.
Yep. Agreed. The better balance would be,
okay, here it is.
Team pickleball and nothing else. But hey,
oh, team pickleball and indoor team pickleball and nothing else with a dome over the U.S.
I did not want to talk about it, but here we are. We're going to, because you brought it up. when you said in Atlanta you had like that wall where you could watch the grandstand court as well as championship court. You know where else you could do that? In Columbus at that indoor facility where you could watch. You'd be at the top bit. We all had a few adult beverages up there, and then you could see the championship court, and then you could see the grandstand court behind you, and then above you, if you look straight up, there's this insane structure called a roof. That what the roof does is it blocks moisture from the air of coming down to the court and ruining plans and delaying tournaments and canceling events. So that was Columbus. And yeah, I didn't really want to get into indoor pickleball, but since you led me there, it's
You brought up something funny, because when we were in Columbus, I remember, I had come to terms with my career being over, so I partook in quite a few adult beverages.
Yes.
And I remember I had never really talked to the kid before, CJ Klinger.
Yeah.
And I sat next to him at the in the stands, and you know, I just kinda, he didn't really say much, shocking, and I just kind of kept going, and I mean, I literally talked to him for 5 minutes. I was just kind of spurting things out, and I like look over to my right to say hi to somebody, and look back over to my left, and CJ's gone. I think I made him a little uncomfortable, you know, with how much I was talking and what I was talking about or whatever. I mean, I'm talking 10 seconds. I look over, I look back, and CJ is nowhere to be seen. He changed seats on me. Pretty funny story.
It's a fantastic CJ Klinger story.
It is. There's some pretty good CJ Klinger.
I would imagine
stories.
Darren was somewhere in like the corner, like trying to like, CJ, yeah, come here. Get away from that guy.
Get away from that guy. He's inebriated. Yeah. Get away from him. You're too young to be a part of any of that. So I think that's probably exactly what happened, but a quality story nonetheless.
Oh, that's fun. That's super fun. And it was even more fun because it was indoors.
Yes. There you go. That's it. That's it. We'll cut the indoor talk right there. I think it's perfect.
Cut the pod right there, I think.
I think it's reasonable. I know we went pretty dang hard last time, like an hour 20 or something like that. So maybe we trim it up and go about 40 minutes this time.
Yeah, we leveled this baby out. You know, we don't want to drag on. If it feels right to stop, we got to stop. And it feels right to stop right now.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. Clear that body. Load up. Be ready for attacks from your partner. Come on. Load it up, guys. Don't be stuck watching. Don't have that paddle down. Don't wait. Anticipate.
Adam, you're before your time because you're one of the best loaders on the defensive side that I've ever seen. Just
You gotta load it up.
Your swing wasn't necessarily compact. I wouldn't say your swing was compact, but you did load.
I did load. It was the antithesis of compact. It got me in trouble sometimes, but when you load it up and you swing big and you catch it right, it's a pretty special situation, even if that's only 1 out of 10 times, Robert.
Hey, it worked. Okay, till next week, guys.
I like when you change the volume of your words. That was good. Dramatic pause. Yeah.
Until next week. Bye-bye.